Guys, good morning. My name is Jaco. I'm excited to be here. Are you excited to be here? Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing this time with us. I don't know about you, but I just sense God here. Eh? These last few weeks, there's been like this tingling in the spirit. I don't know if you've picked it up, but I don't know. It just draws me closer to God. And this morning, I'm excited for what He wants to do in our lives, in us as a church. So this morning I want to share with you just something that God has been gunning in my life the last 8 weeks, I suppose. And I'm so excited about it. It's so precious to me that I cannot but keep silent and just come and share it with you. So just open your hearts. What God wants to tell you through my life, it's going to change your life. You're never going to be the same if you're hungry for God. But let's just pray this morning. Father, thank you that you gave us your Son, Jesus. Thank you that you given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Father, thank you that you said that you will not leave us orphans, but you will come back for us again, God. And thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit, God, to be our friend, our comforter, our encourager, God, our helper, Lord. And we honor you, God, for the work you are doing in us and through us in this very time, Father. And this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll come and do what only you can do. You will come and transform hearts and minds, that you will come and meet us at the place where we're all at, Father God. Different places, different seasons, Lord, but you know it all, God. And this morning I ask that you will put us in your washing machine. Lord, and you will wash us, God. And that you will turn us around, God, Lord, and that you will take out the stains, Lord. And you will wash out the marks, the world, and this week has left upon us. And Father, I ask that you will cause the bright colors to come out of us again. And God, this morning I speak over every person, your bright colors coming forth. The purposes and destinies that God has had for our people to come forth, God. Colors of purple and blue and green and yellow, God. All reflecting your glory, Jesus. So wash us this morning, God. Spin us, God. We say more, yes, Lord. Just have more of you, God. More soap. Just clean us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name. I've got a word for all of us this morning. I was just reminded that, you know, all of us, our spiritual forefather, Abram, and his whole clan, you guys know him. You've read about him in Genesis and all these. Unfortunately, him and his whole family were campers. They were pilgrims, you know. They moved all around. So a word for us as a church is the camp we're going to do is quite biblical. You know, so for those of us who are resisting the spirit, just read the Bible. You know, it's all written in there. I'm looking to people here on my right. I'm drawing here to people. So no, that's a joke on the side. You can do whatever you want. Come and camp. Just come for the day. Have a family day with us. Drive back. It's not so far. I think it's just around the corner here in Gans Bay. Be it as it may. This morning, I want to just start off by reading a scripture to you and just talking about one thing that I seek most in my life at this moment, but God has done in my life, which I'm so excited about. I want to just throw it at you and say, run with it. So this morning, I want to just read you what David said in Psalm 42. Read with me. It says, as a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. Where can I go and worship in your presence? Psalm 36, he said, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there's no water. I've seen you in your sanctuary, gazed upon the power and your glory. Your unfading love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I will lie awake thinking of you, meditating of you through the night. Because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadows of your wings. Guys, here we see a man, David, that he says, God, my heart longs for you as a deer longs for water. Yeah, he says, God, I'm like a man stranded in the wilderness, in the desert Sahara, looking for a drop of water. God, so my soul thirsts for you. God, I long for you. And guys, that's what God has been doing in my life, just stirring a hunger, stirring a passion, stirring a longing after Him. And I believe that this is meant for every one of us. Amen? This is not to be reserved for only a couple of spiritual people or a couple of people that only goes to church. No, this is meant for all of us, the cry that David had in his heart, to long after God. It's not, this is supposed to be the normal state of every Christian's life. To be thirsty and to be hungry for God. But the one thing I found out that spiritual hunger usually starts off when we get saved. Amen? It's like the time when you're in this honeymoon and everything is just new. And for my life, I remember thinking back as I prepared. You know, I got saved in a bucky, radically just saying yes to Jesus. The only thing I remember is I sprang this prayer and I see these white lines in the road at night just driving as I was so desperate for God at the time of my life. But I remember that season, I was so hungry. I was driving from the Ache Eskerk. They had a service at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I will drive to Shofar. I will sit there and they will have this amazing soaking chairs. I will just like, they will pray over me and I will manifest and God will just doing amazing things in my life. In the week, I will just sit on tapes and see this. I will just sing and just soak in God's presence. If there was a conference, I will just run and be there just to be with Jesus. It was like a perpetual honeymoon for me. And Now I was thinking, when I look back at the last 20 years of my life, something went missing. Something changed. It's not the same as they're supposed, as what they were in those days where I was just pursuing God with everything in me. Something changed. And I found out one thing, that the thing that happened, it was my hunger and my thirst for God disappeared. But the funny thing is, working for the church, I did all the religious stuff. I went to all the meetings. I prayed all the prayers. I prayed for all the people. You know, I did all the things that's supposed to be done by a Christian. I did the charismatic box thing. And in a way, I was happy, but still there was this longing with David said, God, I long for you. I knew there were more. I knew it. And I want to ask you this morning, who of you can identify with me in that? Things were great, but something changed. Things were amazing with God, but something changed. You know, it's like we get married. Unfortunately, it's an amazing honeymoon, but then comes the marriage, the children, the job, and all that, the business. And I'm not saying that's the way it should be. I want to perpetrate to you that this is not the way it should be. It should be always the honeymoon with God. Amen? The place where we keep on thirsting for Him, where a person in a desert is longing for a bit of water. So most of us here this morning have showed me that, yeah, we've been through that. And look, that's okay up to this morning. And I was wrestling with God about this. And I asked, Holy Spirit, why does this happen to so many of us so frequently? To myself, a few years ago, I went through a terrible sickness. Do you think I was thirsty for God? No, I was offended by God. I was having questions. I was doubting God's goodness. And God brought me through this to teach me these precious lessons I want to give to you this morning. And the thing He showed me is quite simple. He said to me, Yaku, in the natural, when you are hungry, when it's supper time, you will be hungry. Amen? All the men? Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Sticky steak, sticky steak. When mom says, boys, it's supper time, we'll all rush there and we will eat. Except if you are physically sick. Then our appetites are suppressed. Amen? When I was sick, my appetite was suppressed. I didn't eat, but the doctor said, you must eat. So I had to drink all these protein shakes to just bulk me up. But your appetite is suppressed. The other thing that could happen, God showed me in the natural, is that when mom says it's supper time and we're not hungry, it's because we have snacked on other things beforehand. All the rugby lovers here, the biltongs and the chippies before lunchtime. Then when we rock up at the dinner table, we're like, oh God, you know, mom, sorry mom. And you eat your peas only and you eat your carrots only. For the most holy ones around here, the rest of us, we just dig into the meat. And guys, what the Lord showed me is it's exactly the same in the spiritual. We are meant to feast on God. We are meant to fellowship with God. Amen? We are meant
to be with Jesus.
But if we don't hunger, it's either one of two things. It's either because you are spiritually sick, or it's because you have been eating some other things. You've wasted your appetite on other things. Isn't that true? And the morning the Lord wants to work in those areas. And the result of both these cases is either if you are physically sick or spiritually, or if you have spoiled your appetite with other things, we are not yearning after God as we're supposed to yearn. Amen? And then the Lord took me to Jesus, and he showed me in Mark chapter 4, Jesus explained this whole scenario for me. I said, God, I see it. And read with me here in Mark 4. Jesus said, he's talking about the parable of the sower. We know all the story where Jesus says the guy sows the seed on the different types of soil. Look at this. He says, verse 18, other people are like seeds planted among thorn bushes. There's a fourth type, the third type one. He said, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitful pleasures of riches, and the desires for other things take over. They choke the word so that they cannot produce anything. The desire for other things, Jesus says, is our enemy. Yes, we all get sick. We can't help that. Yes, we go through seasons of spiritual sickness, of unbelief, of bitterness, of unforgiveness. And God wants us to deal with those things, church. It's a spiritual sickness. It will keep you away from fellowship with God. Do you know that? God has made us for intimacy with Him, for fellowship with Him. To be like David, to cry, God, I thirst for you, God. Just give me some water. Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will come to me and drink. And the rivers of life will come gushing out of you, speaking about the Holy Spirit. But spiritual sickness is put like rocks in this fountain, put like rocks in this river, and the river can't flow. And God, I tell you, yes, a river in a manus that is starting to flow. And God is inviting us to jump in and to swim. He's inviting us into the river of life. This bubbling I was talking about is the river of life. The fountain has started to bubble. And God wants to burst the dam walls, guys. Are we ready? I'm so hungry for that. I'm so hungry for that. You see, it's the other things that choke out the word. It's the other things that kill our passion and our desire for Jesus Christ. But what Jesus is saying here, he says, whatever you focus on will cause a hunger for that thing to develop within you. Whatever you focus on will cause a hunger for that thing to develop in you. What are you focusing on? You know, if I took example out of my own life, it's a terrible story. I'm sorry I had to share this with you. But one of my hobbies is I like to play golf. And I remember a few years ago, I was just, this whole bug just got me. And I was like looking into gear and buying all these things and sharing with Alan. And he's a very good golfer. And I'm talking to him and having this friend that's now overseas. And we play golf every single week for like 2 years. It was not sinning. I just want to clarify that one. Just this consuming joy for a golf ball. But what I've learned from that and where I'm now is that whatever I focus on, that will develop a hunger within me. And I was so focused on golf and the technique and the magazines and the pro golfers, and I sat hours before the TV focusing on this professionals playing the game to master the art of this golf sport. And you know what? It choked the word of God in me. My passion was nowhere. I had such a passion for golf. I was dreaming about it and all this. But I've learned this lesson that Jesus says here, that the other things of this life kill His word in our lives. And that's not what God wants for us. But sadly, guys, that is what's happening in the church today. We are focusing so on the other things except Jesus. And the result is we are fruitless. We cannot bear fruit. The picture came. Our rose fields are smashed up. Our vineyards, there's no more fruit left. And God says in John 15, I long for you to bear fruit and much fruit so that it can glorify my name. Amen? And then we wonder why the church is so powerless. I tell you that because we're focusing on other things. But the sad reality and the thing the devil tells us about these other things, he sells us the lie that these other things will satisfy us. These other things will have lasting value in our lives. And let me tell you what, it will always leave you empty, will always leave you disgusted. Feeling, is this it? And I want to tell us this morning that the only one that can satisfy us is Jesus Christ. Mark 5 says the following, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Look at this promise. John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. Guys, Jesus will never satisfy you. The more you have of him, the more you just want more of him. There's no ending depth to that. The only measure for fullness in the kingdom is overflow. Do you know that? Overflow. God wants us to overflow. He wants the rivers of this life to break over and to flow over. That is the fullness in the kingdom. So, the only weapon we have against the worries of this life, the love for money, which our society is full of, and the desires for other things, is to develop a deeper hunger for Jesus. The only weapon we have is to go deeper into Jesus. To go deeper into him. Why is that so? Because it is only when God is the supreme hunger in our hearts that he will be supreme in everything. It's only when God is the supreme hunger in our lives that he will be supreme above everything. When he's the supreme hunger, he will be the supreme focus, and then he will be supreme in everything. What are the other things that you are feasting on at the moment? God is a jealous God. He made you for fellowship with him. He will not share you with this world. He will cause havoc in your life to get your attention so you can worship him and cry out just for him. Look at Job. Look at all these characters in the Bible. He wants us, guys. He is our reward. He is our reward. Not stuff, not more possessions. He is our reward. Amen? I hope this morning you are hearing my heart. God wants to break the dam walls. God wants to do more than what we are used to. God wants to take this honeymoon and make it honeymoon forever with him. That's how it's going to be in heaven. It's going to be in his presence forever. Amen? I love the story of a young man. Listen to this. He went to a preacher searching for God. Don't do that. After much talk, the preacher was not having any success. Finally, he thought and took the young man down to the river, grabbed him and put his head under the water. The young man began to kick and scream and try his best to come up for air, but the preacher held him a little bit longer. That's how our baptism should be, eh? You must kill that old man. But we are nice to you here because we know there's sharks in the sea that come quickly. And whales. No, I'm joking. So this young man was kicked and tried his best to come up for air, but the preacher held him under, finally letting his head up out of the water. The preacher asked him, "Son, when you were under the water, what did you want more than anything?" The young man said, "Air, sir, just air, just more air." And the preacher said, "Son, when you want God as bad as you want air, you will find him." When you want God as much as you want air, you will find him. Guys, and I want to tell us, church, we need to thirst for God like this young man thirsts for air. We need to return to God with a heart like David that yearns, that cries out for him, that is desperate for God's presence and nothing else. We must ask the Holy Spirit this morning, do on me surgery. Show me the other things I'm pursuing. Show me the worries I'm hanging on. Show me the greed, the love of money I have so I can be free so the Word of God can produce much fruit in my life. Show us, Holy Spirit. I love the words of John the Baptist in John 3. It says, "He must increase and I must decrease." Say with me, "He must increase and I must decrease." And guys, this has been my prayer for the last 8 weeks. More of you, God. More of you, God. It's been my prayer, God, you must increase, God. You must increase, I must decrease. God, take me deeper. Take me deeper into you, God. More, more, more of you, God. That's been all I've been praying for the last few weeks. God, and I tell you, God has filled me every single time. When I thirst after him, he says, "You will give me water to drink." When I want to have a bread to eat, he will give me living bread to eat. Amen. That must become our prayer because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most glorified in him. May our prayer be for this year more of you, God. May you increase and may I decrease. Amen? And the reason I'm saying that is because I've come to the place in my life, I said earlier, man, I'm tired. I'm tired of powerless Christianity. Amen. I'm tired of religious, charismatic Christianity. I'm tired of coming to church and going home unchanged. I'm tired of coming and sitting here and thinking of my week ahead. I'm tired, guys, of, of having life without Christ. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of power, not of word only. We've got so much word, I'm sick of all the word. God, I want you to manifest yourself in my life. I don't want to read about it or sing about it anymore. I want to experience it, God. Come on, more of you, God. More. I hope you're also tired. God will take us deeper, guys. Jesus didn't pay a cheap price. His glory is not cheap. But he wants us to hunger for him. To become desperate. I don't know, I've never been in the desert, but I just know it's hot there. It's not comfortable there. But when you're thirsty, you're really thirsty. Let the Lord speak to us this morning. Let him bring a godly dissatisfaction in our souls with where we are and what he wants to have for us. Amen? God help us. So this morning, I wanted just to look at a few aspects of spiritual hunger. I don't know if it's right or wrong. That's just what God has given me, man. Some aspects. The first, I just want to read with us this story just to illustrate the story. It's here in Mark 5. It says, so they arrived as the guy with the demon possessed that was in the tombs. And for me, this is probably one of the most powerful illustrations of the kingdom of God in the Gospels. This guy had so many demons, he called him Legion. It's a Roman battalion of 6,000 soldiers. 6,000 demons was inside of this guy. Jesus delivered him like that. The magnitude of this miracle for me is one of the most astounding ones in the whole of the Gospel. And Jesus says, yeah, they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gadaras, whatever. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial graves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as it often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to control him. Verse 6, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek or a scream, he said, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. And the story goes on where Jesus commands the demons to go into the pigs and they run into the sea. Amen. And all the herdsmen are run off scared into the city, telling everybody, look, what is happening here? Verse 15, it says, a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting by, fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they all were afraid. It's funny, eh? That they weren't even glad. They weren't even glad the guy they had to restrain is now free. Interesting. 17 says, and now the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. I'm astonished at that. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be filled, that he might be with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful you have been. Wow. Wow, a life changed. But the observers just saw it and were unmoved. Were unmoved. So the first aspect this morning of being hungry for God is to be poor in spirit. Verse 6, it says here, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. Interesting thing the Holy Spirit gives us there. When Jesus was still a distance away, the man saw him. Wow. Did you get that? What it means is when this demon-possessed man recognized who Jesus was, he hungered after him. When this man, when God opened his eyes and he recognized the Son of God, he ran to him. He was hungry for him. And Jesus calls this poor in spirit. Matthew 5 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Interesting enough, the New Living Translation said it so much better for me. It says, God blesses those who realizes their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So church, in other words, the poor in spirit means to recognize our need for Jesus. To recognize him. And for me, the interesting thing is, if you look at the story here and all over the Gospels, the interesting thing is the Pharisees could never recognize him when Jesus stood in front of them. They were the ones that prayed for his coming. They were the ones who knew the scriptures. They were the ones who studied history to find out who the Messiah will be one day. But when he stood in front of them, they couldn't recognize him. They tested him. They asked questions about him. They sent stuff and they want to murder him. They couldn't see him. But amazing enough to me, who saw him? The prostitutes, the sinners, the tax collectors, the demon-possessed, the star worshippers all saw him for who he really was. Isn't that amazing? But why is that, guys? Why is that? I believe it's because they were all poor in spirit. They were hungry for God. They recognized him when he was the Son of God. And said, God, Jesus, you are the Messiah which I always longed for. Poor in spirit. And for me, it's interesting to see and to know that the world and sinners, they know they lost. Amen? They know that they are in great need. They are lost. But we, as the church, are in danger of missing Jesus like the Pharisees did. If we don't keep on completely depending on Jesus for what only he can do. We are in danger of missing him like the Pharisees if we don't recognize him for what he's doing. If we don't recognize what he's doing in this time in our lives. Guys, there's a move of God that wants to take place. We must recognize that. Hunger for that. We cannot stand and let it pass. Jesus will walk on. Do you recognize him? Do you recognize him? The one thing I've learned that to be poor in spirit is not something we can manufacture out of ourselves. It's something we must ask the Holy Spirit to do within us. We must ask him to come and unveil us, to take off the scales, to help us to focus on the one thing that matters. The kingdom, the king and his kingdom. And his agenda. Amen. So church, this morning I want to portray to us and tell us that we need Jesus. Do you know that? You need him. More than the breath you are breathing at the moment. You need him more than the sleep you want at night. David was there. He cried out for him day and night. God, I long for you alone. Where can I go and worship in your presence? For me, in the last few days, I felt like a heroin junkie. I said to Jesus, Jesus, you are my drug. I cannot go without this day. Give me Jesus. I don't know who had friends like that, but you know, I saw a couple of them with heroin drugs. It is a terrible thing. If they're without that, they become nasty people. And they didn't tell you what? We are all nasty without Christ. I become a filthy human being if I'm without Christ. I become a horrible husband without Jesus. But we need more of him. Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Can I ask us just to give out the communion so long? To all the people, we're going to take a while, so I just want to do it at the end. So we can just maybe give the communion out. You're going to sit and we're going to just take a wine and take a little bread and listen as the baskets just pass so we can be ready at the end. Are you all with me still? Poor in spirit. Let's pray for poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. For me, it's amazing that God says the promise there is what? Theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Look at it. Many of the other Beatitudes said, those who are merciful will? Hello? Obtain mercy. Those who make peace will be called the sons of God. But to those who are poor in spirit, God says one thing. Theirs is the kingdom of God. The kingdom. The kingdom is where the king reigns. The second point of being hungry, aspect for God, is that we will passionately pursue Jesus. It sounds obviously, but it's not. In the story in Luke 5, read with me, Mark 5, it says, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, but what happened then? He ran to meet him and bowed low before him. The second thing after he recognized Christ, he ran to Christ. He pursued Jesus. And this is for me so amazing that after he recognized him, nothing stopped him. Because he knew that Jesus was everything he needed. So to illustrate this point a little bit better, Jesus goes on to tell us the other story. And I want to quickly read you the story, but it's about the blind beggar. And these are some other things that I think stand out here about us that pursues Christ. It says here in Mark 10, just a little bit down in the gospel. It says here, when they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. And the blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. And when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. "Shush, man, shush." But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." And they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. And he said, "What do you want?" And Jesus said, "What do you want to do for me?" Jesus asked. "My Rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see. Can't you see? I want to see." Isn't that amazing for you that Jesus asked him what Jesus could saw his need was? It's for me like, Jesus, what are you doing here? It's like quite amazing. He says, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see and he followed Jesus down the road. Wow. Wow. Again, a picture of me of somebody who passionately pursues Jesus. Isn't that such an illustration of somebody that yearns for God? Then here in verse 47, just read with me again. It says, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, when he heard, he started to shout. When he heard, he shouted. What happened? The people said, "No, man, shush." What happened? He shouted more. Say, "No, Jesus, no, 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 Jesus. I want you, God, Son of David, have mercy upon me." Isn't that amazing? And I want to ask this morning, why do you think didn't he stop? Why do you think this man did not stop? He was a blind beggar. He was excommunicated out of society. They lived outside of the city. And yet they say, "Man, shush, man. Jesus is so holy. He won't mind you. Just leave it, man." Why do you think he did not stop yelling at Jesus? I believe the reason is because he was a desperate man. Amen? He was a desperate man. You see, guys, hungry people, I don't know if you've met a beggar before, but hungry people are desperate. Amen? Hungry people will do anything for a piece of bread. They will sacrifice anything to get what they need. Isn't that true? They will sacrifice anything. And for me, the picture is always been this. It's like a young man who is impassionate in love with his wife. That love is so violent, it will do anything to get her. Isn't that true? It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, a man that passionately loves his wife. And God loves us this way. It's a violent love. It's a love that dominates every other issue in our lives. Isn't that true? When husbands, hello. When last did you love your wife this way? The quietness is like heavier. God wants us to love our wives with a violent love. With a love that dominates every other issue. You see, when he is the supreme hunger in our hearts, he will be supreme in everything. Hungry people are desperate people. That's why he didn't give up. He went on and on and on. Second question to you is, what do you think would have happened if he did stop shouting? What if he realized, but listen, okay, I'm now ludicrous. I'm now a bit funny here. Let me rather just shut up. Because, back of the hand, I am a beggar and I'm blind. What would have happened if he stopped yelling? Think about it. Do you know what would have happened? Jesus would have walked right by. He would have missed Jesus. He would have maybe have seen him there. Beautiful Jesus, long hair. Crowds around him, he would have missed his moment. And church, this morning, I want to ask you, don't be an observer. Don't be an onlooker. Become a participant. Don't miss Jesus by just looking at him. Cry out for him. Become desperate for him. Don't stop. Don't let anybody stop your pursuit of Christ. Amen? And secondly, don't let the opinion of others stop you
just shun the opinion. Say, man, keep quiet. Keep quiet. That lady would have tested me. A lady, shun the opinion. Shun it. And say, God, that doesn't matter. That you matter in my life. Silence those voices. And let the praise of God start rising within. Let's cry out to the living God. Amen? The amazing thing for me in this story and the one with the demon-possessed man is that when you are hungry for God, the impossible becomes possible. Hallelujah. Think about it. Lord, more of you, God. When you're hungry, when you're poor in spirit, when you're desperate for Christ, when you pursue Him, the impossible becomes possible. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of God, guys, the supernatural is natural. It's natural, the supernatural. For us, here, now in the West, we think, yo, the supernatural is out there. Yes, it is out there because the kingdom of God is out there. God wants it in here. God wants it to overflow, to break the damn walls, so everybody can see and taste that God is good. Amen? Come on. Come on, church. The impossible becomes possible. Look at this. In the kingdom of God, this blind beggar, he was shunned away. He said, listen here, don't pursue God. He said, no, I am going to pursue Him. I am desperate. I know what I want because I recognize Jesus, and therefore everything becomes possible for those who believe. The impossible becomes possible for those who are hungry and desperate for God. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. The same story. Crowds were on Jesus. It was impossible for her to meet Him. But she said, if only I can touch Him. If only I can meet Him. The impossible will become possible. And He did. She was delivered. The most amazing story for me was in Mark 2. Here Jesus is starting to preach in Mark 2. Just read the story in the Gospels. Revival breaks out. What happens? He's in this house. The people come. They're in the doors. There was no room, the Bible says, for a single man in the room. Here comes a few latecomers with a friend, paralyzed, can't walk. They come here, they say, oh, impossible situation. But we're hungry enough for Jesus. So they do what? On the roof, and something impossible becomes possible. They didn't allow that to stop them, church. Don't allow the others to quiet your voice. Press into God and hunger for Him. The impossible becomes possible with Jesus. Amen. Verse 49 says, and when Jesus heard the shouts of the blind beggar, He stopped and said, tell him to come here. Wow. Do you see? It's amazing what the Bible tells us here. When He heard this guy shouting, Jesus stopped and told him to come. In other words, this man's hunger and desperation got God's attention. Guys, heaven responds to your cries. When we pursue Christ, heaven responds. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He will reward you. He will fill you. He will meet you at the place of your expectancy for Him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Our hunger is what attracts God to us like nothing else. Jesus, on His mission to Jericho, the Bible says, He was on a mission. The Father's plan was Jericho, was Jerusalem. He went there, the Bible says, and He stopped. And He saw this man. Call him to me. Call him to me. All of heaven stopped and zoomed in the man that was hungry for Christ. God will meet us on the level of our hunger and expectation. And church, can I give you a secret this morning? Hunger is a key to revival. Hunger is a key to personal transformation. This blind beggar had the choice to keep quiet. You have the choice this morning to keep quiet. To go back home and say, oh, what a nice message. Tomorrow is Monday. Or we can say, God, my life will not be the same again. I've tasted and I see that you are all I want, God. I recognize you as the one that has the bread of life. You are the fountain of living waters, God. If I don't drink from you, God, I will die of thirst. Let's hunger for God. So church, run after Him. Run after him. Hunger for him with all your heart and you will find him. Run after him and you will find him. And the impossible will become possible. Can I get the band to come up for us as well? So the first thing is poor in spirit. The man saw Jesus distant away. The second one, when he saw him, when he recognized him, he ran to Jesus and he bowed and he worshipped and said, God, my God, deliver me, help me. The last thing I want to look at, last aspect this morning, is the hungry for God values his presence. The hungry for God values his presence. Now back in the story in Mark 5 with the demon-possessed man, Jesus said in verse 18, he says, after everything happened, he says, and Jesus was getting into the boat, and the man who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Wow. Do you see that, church? Do you see that? After all God has done for this man, he yearned for more. He said, God, don't leave me here. I've tasted. I want more, God. May I just be one more moment with you, God. Now, church, listen, I don't know if you have ever begged for something in your life. Some of us may have. Thank God I've not begged for any food in my life. Thank God he looks well after his children. But you know what? If you beg for food, it's a serious place of need you're at. Amen? It's a serious place. And this man begged for Jesus. Not for food, not for more money and stuff. He begged him for his presence. And when you are down and out in a place of desperation, then you're saying to yourself, guys, I need this because I cannot live without it. When you beg, you're saying to other people, listen, you forgive me that because I can't live without it. And all of us have encountered beggars at the streets, at the robots, at our houses. We've all met them. For me, the one thing that is interesting is they usually ask you for the thing that they cannot live without. Piece of bread, piece of food, glass of water. Isn't that amazing? It is as if hunger reduces everything to the most essential thing in life. It's like if desperation takes out all the clutter, it makes us to know what we want, that one thing, most essential to keep us alive for the next day, for the next moment. And guys, I believe that is what the Holy Spirit wants from us this morning. That is what I believe the Holy Spirit wants for the church in this time, where his presence would become everything to us. Where we long for him, where we say, Jesus, I cannot live without you if I don't have your presence. Because where your presence is, there is fullness of joy. There's life evermore. There's peace beyond measure. Amen? Let's respond to him this morning, church, by saying your presence is all we want. You see, Moses was at that place. He says, if your presence doesn't go with us, God, do not bring me up from here. Moses encountered God at this place. Moses said, Holy Spirit, bring me to this place, with the place where God wants us this morning. David again was at the place. He says, listen to this, Psalm 84. For one day in your courts is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. One day, God. One day with you. God, I beg you to be with you, this man said. Just one day, one moment more, God. The hungry, they value the presence of Jesus because they've tasted and see that God is good. You see, for Moses and for David, his presence enjoyed priority. For David and Moses, his presence was the only thing that satisfied him. It was the air they breathed. It was the water they drank. It was the food they ate. It was everything for them, and it did everything for them. It was everything for them, and it did everything for them. And the same will be true for us if we hunger for Jesus. So in conclusion, this morning, I want to challenge us, church, this morning as we partake of the Lord's body. Are we going to make His presence valuable again? Above all else? Are we going to recognize Him when He walks into our houses? When He knocks us in the mornings wake and says, "My son, come to me." Will we recognize Him? Can we say like David, "One day, God, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. My heart is there with You in that one day, God. Not in the other things, not in the other moments, but with You. Not on the golf course, God, where I was. I realize it's not there. It's with Jesus." You see, church, prophetically, I believe God wants to pour out His Spirit on us again. He wants to pour out His Spirit on us again. Haggai 2 says, "The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former." The glory of this house shall be greater than the former. The glory of the latter, the manifest presence of Christ will be greater now than what it was before. I say yes to that. I say yes, that will happen. I say yes, that will happen in every family here. In every child's life here, the presence, the glory will hover over our houses. Because we are poor in spirit, because we are hungry for Him, because we pursue Him with all passion in our souls. Amen? So guys, God wants to do great and awesome things in this house. Great and awesome things are destined for this house. Things that ear has not heard, eye has not seen, people have not spoken about, God is going to do in this place. Amen? Yes, let's praise Him. Great and awesome things. The glory of the latter. But God is looking for a people that are hungry, with hungry hearts only for Him. Will that be you? God is looking for people that are poor in spirit, that realizes that He is all they need. Will that be you? God is looking for the passionate that will draw near to Him with all of their hearts to touch Him by the Spirit. Will that be you? Will you stand for that? And lastly, David ended with this amazing words, which I want to close off with. He says in Psalm 27, he says, "The one thing I ask the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple." For David, church, the one thing was a hunger for His presence. For David, it was the place where he could just lost himself with his father's love. Not more possessions, not more money. Look, David was the king of the nation at this time. He had all the money. He had all the possessions. He had everything underneath his feet. But still, the other things did not had a hold on him to choke the word of God in his life. And he could say, "God, there are many things the world asks for. There are many things my brothers are praying for. But the one thing I ask You this morning, God, is that I will live in Your house and I will seek You most, God, is to live in Your presence, in Your glory, God." May that become our cry this morning, church. May that become our cry this morning. So I want to leave us with this challenge. What is the one thing that you seek? What is the one thing that you want most in life? Is it that holiday in the Bahamas? Is it that business deal? Is it to be the boss of a major company? What is the one thing you crave for in life? Ask yourself that. David was, he was the highest authority in the nation. And yet he said those things are empty, pale, and poor in comparison with one day in his courts. A heart that's hungry for God. Let's pray this morning. God, we want to worship You in this place. God, our hearts are saying this morning, yes to You, God. Yes, if you agree with me, just start to pray in your own language. Just pray. God, yes. Like John says, God, we want more of You. Increase, Lord. Increase it, Lord. Don't stop with us now, God. You've done amazing work, God. We say yes. Yes, God. One day with You, God. One day with You is better, Lord. Yes, God. We are hungry, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us more, God. Yes, God, more. Increase it, Lord. Increase it, God. We hunger and thirst for you. Holy Spirit, this morning we ask if poor in spirit could be a gift, ask, give it to us, please. We say yes. Yes to poor in spirit, God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. Yes, God. Yes. More, Jesus. Increase, Lord. You increase and we decrease. Just drink, church. Just drink. Just drink from His presence. Whoever believes in Him, living waters will flow out of his innermost being. He says, come and drink. We drink of you, Holy Spirit. We drink, we drink, we drink. Yes. Fill our cups, Lord. Fill our cups. Yes, Lord. More of your glory. Yes, yes, God. Yes, we hunger for you, God. We hunger for you, God. Yes. Yes, God.
Yes. We want to thank you this morning, God, for your body, which were broken for us. We thank you for what you've done for us on the cross, that you've paid the price to restore our fellowship with you. This morning, God, as we eat of your bread and drink of your blood, Lord, we ask that you will give us new wine. New wine, God. New wine for a new day. New anointings, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Let us eat. Let us eat of the body of Jesus. In reverence of Him.
Thank you, God. This morning, just stand. Let's just stand and just raise our hands to Jesus. This morning, church, I want to ask us, if you have never met this Jesus I've been talking about this morning, I want to give you a simple invitation. He has already started to work in your heart. I want you just to come forward right now. He wants to save you. Be like the demon-possessed man and run to Him. He will meet you here. He will not fail you. See, this morning, if you are distant from Christ, if you don't know Him, come to Him this morning. I say, come to Him. This morning, I also want to make an altar call just for those that has been like me. You've lost your hunger and your thirst. You're in a place where other things are choking the Word of God in your life. I know there's people like that. It's choking your intimacy. It's choking your quality time. It's choking your desire for the Word, all of that. You know it. Just come. Just come to Christ. He will restore it. He will put the fire alight again. He'll put the fire alight again. Just come as you are. Just come now. Come out. God wants to fill us. He wants to fill us this morning. The glory of the latter will be greater than the former. God, I release this into this place. The glory of God will be greater. Will be greater, Lord. A new hunger, God. Jesus' name. And while we're worshiping, I just got like funny pain in my upper back here. Are there anybody that has got like back pains, back issues at the top side here? Can you just come to the front? God, we just want to heal you. Anybody else back issues? I just sense here on the scapula. I don't know. Maybe the neck. Just maybe come to Christ. He is the healer. We want to lay hands on you and just minister to you. Thank you, Lord.
The glory forever, amen. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Forever, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just respond. Let's just sing with the band this morning. And as you stand here in front, just cry out for Him. He will meet you at your place of hunger. Thank you. Let's just sing with me. Sing with me. Sing with me. Sing with me. It says,
Your word is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, we love You. We love You. Your word is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, we love You. We love You. Your word is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, we love You. We love You.
Yes, God, we love You. We thank You, Jesus. Lord, thank You for this time and Your presence. We honor You for what You are doing. We declare, Lord God, greater things are going to happen in this place. In Jesus' name.